Roddy Nabalsi joins us from UGASports.com. Roddy, how are
you? What up, Rod?
I'm doing fine. I've kind of flushed that Alabama game, looking forward to Auburn. And like the song says, I was as low as you could be on the Georgia Bulldogs in that first half. I was stunned. But then the way they fought back, and, I mean, yeah, they didn't win it, but they took the lead. And that, you know, Kirby Smart had said that his team was resilient after the Kentucky game. And I'm like, okay, that's a nice coach speak, but he's right. They are resilient. For me, it was down 28-0. I said, put in Gunnar Stockton, put in the second string guys. Let's just get out of here without any injury. Let's just go home. But they fought back, and I give them a lot of credit for that.
I do want to ask you, just, I know you flushed it, but when you were flushing it, what all was in there? Like, was it clogging it up? Like, what were we? Because there was a lot in that game, man. That was a crazy football game, like you said. Not a lot of games where 60 minutes are that jam-packed. So I know you talked about some of it there.
That was like after a nickel night at Lowry's. That was just bad, man. It was awful. I'll put it to you this way. I left thinking that Georgia is capable of getting beat 28-0. I also know they're capable of coming back on the road, winning, you know, after being down 28-0, despite giving up 4 turnovers and a safety, despite having some of your best players beat up. I mean, this team has potential that's off the charts, but one of its potentials is getting its head kicked in. So it's think about it. They've had, you know, 4 games, 3 first halves that were abysmal. But then their second half, they're lights out. And, you know, after the Clemson game and after the Kentucky game, the I don't want to call them the negative Nancys, but the negative people who are like, they're always looking for the Achilles heel in Georgia. Like, this is going to come back and bite us sometime. Well, they were right. It did come back and bite you. You dug a hole that was too deep, and you had to beat them. You had to beat the refs. You had to beat the crowd. And you're capable of doing it. So this team is not as good as they were last year. Let's just call it. I mean, how many positions across the board have improved? You lost 3 guys in the secondary to the NFL, but you replaced them with good guys. You don't have the tight ends you had. You don't have Ladd McConkey. Your offensive line is not quite as dominant as you hoped it would be. You've upgraded at running back. Your quarterback should be much better second year, but they're not right now. They're not as good, but they will be. You saw that potential. You've seen Arian Smith playing better than he's ever played in his life. You know, Mykael Williams will be healthy. Your inside linebackers are great. You know, your defensive line's coming is kind of gelling a little bit, and we saw them. You know, they figured out how to kind of contain Milroe in that second half. So when I flushed it, I was like, okay, this team is capable of beating Tennessee and Texas and Ole Miss on the road. Sure, yeah, they can beat them, but they could also lose. So I'm not sure which team we're going to see this Saturday or for the rest of the season, but I know they have it in them. Like, again, 15 missed tackles against Kentucky, 15 missed tackles against Alabama, and you go, well, maybe they're just not a good tackling team. Well, they only missed 2 against Clemson. So you can't tell me this team can't tackle. They absolutely can. It's just, are they going to do it? So, you know, are they going to get the ball downfield? And it's funny how we all were screaming for Mike Bobo to throw the ball downfield against Kentucky. He comes out firing all his guns on that first series, and you got a drop pass and an offensive pass interference. You're like, well, maybe there's a reason Mike Bobo doesn't throw it downfield 60 times a game. So, it was like, hey, go after Jalen Milroe. You didn't do it in the SEC championship.
Yep.
Go get after him, Glenn Schumann. Okay, you went after him. He went empty and torched you. Maybe the coaches know a little bit more than we give them credit for.
What did you learn about 15, Rod?
He's not as good as we thought he was. He's not as bad as I thought he was when he first got here. So, Carson has not been good on the road. If you go back and look at his splits, but again, every quarterback is much more comfortable playing in front of a home crowd than anybody else. There is a significant difference when he's on the road. And again, everybody has that a little bit, but he has a little bit more. And that first half, I think he grew up, because when everything is going – and remember, he didn't get a lot of help. He was hitting guys in the hands, and they were dropping passes. You know, when you take a shot downfield, you've been begging Mike, hey, Mike, come on, let me throw it. Give me a 9 route, Mike. And he does. And your wide receiver drops it, and you're like, geez, guys, you know, or you have what you make a good read, and the guy runs the wrong route. You see they're blitzing, and Arian Smith, you make a check of the line, and Arian Smith is supposed to adjust for that. He didn't. So, you know, it's just, you feel bad for Carson, and he could have just, I think 3 years ago, Carson would have gone into a dark place and just, I don't want to say falling apart, but he would have curled up into a ball, and you're not going to get much more out of him. But he's a lot mentally tougher now than he was, and he rallied the troops, made some great throws. You don't want to be throwing over 50 times, and you want to have a higher completion than 52%. But that is a guy who's like, okay, I did this on the road. In other words, he's been through the crucible. He's going to come out the other side stronger and better for having gone through that hell that was Tuscaloosa on Saturday night.
Rodney DeBalsi joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy from UGASports.com. Talking Georgia. Looking ahead to this weekend now, Roddy. Where are they at injury-wise?
You're missing Smile Mundon. That's huge. I mean, that's the defensive leader on your team. Mikael Williams played 24 snaps, but he's not completely back. London Humphrey is your transfer wide receiver. He's probable, but again, you know, the number of wide receivers they've had hasn't been the issue. The guys dropping passes that hit him in the hands has been the issue. They're not a healthy team. Jordan Hall might get back this week. He's probable. So you're still going to be a little thin on the defensive line. And remember, this is a team that ran over 200 yards on Georgia last year. Jaquez can, I mean, that guy can run the ball. And Peyton Thorne had 90-something yards. So they've seen how Alabama attacked Georgia. They're going to try to do the same thing. So they're not exactly healthy. And there's a little bit of concern about your center, Jared Wilson. I mean, he looks like he should be playing, but they're not as bad as other teams in the conference, but they're not exactly healthy. I'm more worried not so much about the health as about Auburn's defensive ends. Those guys are havoc wreakers. They have, I think, 20-some-odd pressures between the two of them. And Georgia's been a little sketchy in pass pro. So, and again, Auburn's not as bad as everyone thinks they are. They are minus 11 in turnovers. The next closest team in the SEC is minus 4. Most teams are in the positive territory. If Auburn learns how to hang on to the ball, it's a completely different team. So, hopefully they keep turning the ball over like they have been doing and Georgia takes advantage of it. But if they don't, there's going to be a lot of puckered butts in the seats come Saturday because they're not as bad as everybody thinks they are.
Roddy, when you look at, what they call it, the South oldest rivalry and all those different things, so it's always going to be competitive. We understand that part about it.
Yeah.
But if Georgia does what they're supposed to do, Roddy, I don't know what the line is, 22, it should be somewhere around it. If they go out there, because I want to see how they start this game. That's my biggest thing.
Yeah.
How do they come out and start this football game? And if they go out there and they play like Georgia, they should be a 3-touchdown favorite, right?
They are. I actually said that in my prediction this morning at UGA Sports, I said that Georgia wouldn't cover, but they'd win by 21 because the line's 22.5. So if you win by 3 touchdowns, that's great, but people still, complain the fact they didn't cover. And I get it, but I'm with you. You showed me that you can tackle. You showed me that you can attack downfield. You showed me you can run the ball. You showed me you can stop a running quarterback. What you haven't shown me is you can start the first half with more than 7 points. I get it. They did against Tennessee Tech, but do it against the Power 5 team.
Right.
Go out there, attack down the field, establish the run. Look like Georgia should look with all its offensive weapons. Do that, and I'll feel a lot better going into the Mississippi State game and the Tennessee and the Texas game and then, Florida and Ole Miss. I feel a lot better knowing that you don't have to come back in the second half every week, kind of like the Falcons. Just give me a comfortable win against the P5 team. That's all I'm asking.
Roddy, have you seen Malachi Starks play a worse game than he played on last weekend?
No, not at all. And, I mean, when you've got the Jalen Milroe running around the edge and you're like, okay, well, here comes that land speeder that's known as Malachi Starks. He's got an angle on him. And Milroe scores. You're like, what? People completing passes on him. And again, it's the same with Carson Beck. He hasn't had a worse first half in his career. But then they fixed it. So, yeah, that was an off night. There's something about Alabama. I don't say that gets in their heads, but it's just there's been so many close calls that kind of go against Georgia in those situations. Not literally, ref calls, although there have been a few of those. But it's just when you finally get those guys on the ropes, they knock down a 75-yard bomb. And you're like, come on. Why are we cursed when it comes to this particular team? And it's funny, the Georgia fans who are really ticked off about losing Alabama, if the exact same game had been played in Austin, Texas, the Georgia fans would be a lot more excited about the fact that they came back. But there are so many that say, look, when you talk about them coming back, it's just a moral victory. Get out of here with your moral victories. Why are you trying to sugarcoat this loss? I'm like, I'm not trying to sugarcoat it. I'm just saying you're more concerned about the fact that it happened again to Alabama than if it happened to any other team. That's why it stings more. And, you know, when you can't rely – your stars didn't bail you out. Last year, Ladd McConkey bailed you out. Brock Bowers bailed you out. This time, Malachi Starks, Mikael Williams, Carson Beck did not bail you out. And, you know, when all your big stars have a bad game, it's just hard to stomach. It's hard to flush that one. But, hey, flush it twice.
Sometimes you have to flush twice, right?
Yeah,
when it's that's like what that. I'm saying, brother. Yeah.
Courtesy flush.
Yeah, I got to do the courtesy flush. Hey, we appreciate the time and all the flushing jokes. Thank you, Roddy.
Appreciate you, Rod.
Y'all take care.
Roddy DeBalsi there, UGASports.com, every Friday at this time.